Today on Real Life Radio.
Remember, you are a Christian first, friend, and Christians should be out there. We all should be open-armed to the world, if they're poor or rich, and how much more so in the body of Christ. Showing partiality destroys.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What if today was the day that Jesus returned? Pretty good question that changes everything about how we live. In a world filled with distractions and uncertainty, One Day Nearer is the book by Steve Miller. It's this month's featured resource from Pastor Jack Hibbs. It invites you to refocus on what truly matters, living with the hope of Christ's return. Now, this powerful book offers biblical insight and practical encouragement, helping you approach every moment with faith, and purpose, and joy, because each day, no matter how ordinary it seems, brings us closer to the extraordinary reality of eternity with Him.
It's a 365-day devotion, and all of it is themed around being prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Don't just get through your days, live them with the anticipation of what's to come. One Day Nearer, it's our book of the month. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of James with a message titled The Folly of Favoritism. Now, before it became one of the books of the New Testament, James was a letter that was sent to those Jews who chose to follow Christ. And as new believers, James wanted them to know the dangers of favoritism. You see, in Christianity, there is a great danger in showing favor to the wealthy. And they're not to be shown any sort of preference because of their money, while the poor are shown less respect simply because they lack wealth. Now, in his message called The Folly of Favoritism, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You're sitting here in the church in the early days, a bunch of Jewish believers who had come out of Judaism and have made Jesus your Lord, Messiah. And then also in the church, there were a bunch of slaves, Gentile slaves. That's what made up the church. The Jews had been kicked out of their families and out of their jobs. They didn't have any money. And the slaves, they had nothing. That was church in the early church. Rarely, in the early days, were nobility coming to faith in Christ. Now, James is saying, and it must have happened there, in that time, James says, into the church walks a man of noble or wealth in his blood. And he comes in. And if the ushers or the people or the entire church corporately together says, ooh, look, you have just begun to sin, you and I both. That guy, he's what? No kidding. Wow. Don't tell me you don't do that. You may never say it out loud, but it's in your head. Jack, I find that highly offensive. Oh, yeah, watch this. Let's say you know that Mr. J just gave $1 million to Calvary Chapel, which he didn't, whoever Mr. J is, I'm making this up. And we'd like to be showing our gratitude and gratefulness on this Sunday. Mr. J, will you stand up, please? He's just given $1 million to the building project. Let's remember to praise the Lord. Now, you might say, well, fine. Just as Mr. J leaves the sanctuary, he's parked by you. I want to see what kind of car he drives. That's in your thoughts. What kind of car does he drive? Man, look at his shoes. Man. Those are nice shoes. That guy, that's the guy. Honey, did you really say that? That's the guy that's right there. That's the guy. Gave $1 million to the building project. Let's follow behind him with a net and see if anything falls out of loose change or anything like that. You think like this. That's the guy. Oh, you're Mr. J. You're the one that gave, yeah, come on in. It's in your mind. You know it's true. Mommy, what are you looking at? That's Mr. J right over there. See him? You see him? It's twisted. It's us. It's our nature. Now, there's a there's reports. It's funny, because this just proves the point. There's reports. There are reports that Jim Carrey has been attending Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Really? I think we're going to go. Maybe we'll see him. In fact, let's just cut the service. Let's go see if he's there. I remember when Bob Dylan used to go to Calvary Costa Mesa. Did you know that? He came, but his people didn't, it wasn't communicated clearly, and Bob Dylan, somebody assumed that his people, that in his entourage, that somebody would save him a seat. That didn't go well with Pastor Jack. We've had men known for their political careers come in here. What if Pete Wilson would come in here and there's a sign that says reserved seating right here? And you've parked and you've done your thing, you've checked your child in, you've come in here and you sit down and you want that seat, you walk up and it says reserved seating. And then you see Pete Wilson come in and sits down. I think that stinks. I think Pete should find his own seat. Why? You know what? He's a minister ordained by God. He's governor because God said so. That's why. You see, only in our minds does it exist. Listen, a man comes in with rings and the apparel. The word in fine apparel means in bright colored clothing. This man, don't get me wrong, this man who's well-to-do, he's not flaunting it. He just happens to be from that background of life. Can you blame him? Are you supposed to fault him for this? You don't dare do that. God has blessed this man or this woman. You'll become envious and jealous of them. You're worse. The man comes in, he wants to worship the Lord. The woman comes in and her incredible apparel, she wants to worship the Lord. She doesn't know yet that she should maybe dress down. She comes to Calvary Chapel. People wear tank tops. People wear shorts. People wear suits. People wear dresses. I want to hear about God. I want to have Jesus as my focus. I want to hear what's happening. Why do people care about the Bible? I want to know. And somebody walks in, they sit down, and all of their sincerity, though they may have $25 million, and everybody around them is going, ooh, ah, wow, well, who needs them? And they get from one end of praise and honor to the who needs those kinds of people. Hey, your heart's wrong. God looks at them and he looks right past all the robes. He looks right past all the rings and he sees the heart in there that's just like your heart and my heart. And we need to be doing the same thing for the cause of Christ. Paul said, I'll make myself to be like any man that I might win some to Christ. That means if Paul was going to go preach a message in Hollywood, you know what he'd do? He would take his robe off and put on finer apparel. Why? To impress them? Here I am, Paul the Apostle. Ooh, read my books? Huh? No. Paul would come in and he would say, okay, let's open the Bible. He would blend in. When we go to various parts of the world on evangelistic outreaches, we always make it a point. You know what? The country that we're going to this time, leave your jewelry at home. Don't wear anything more extravagant than, a printed or clean type of button-down shirt. Don't wear anything more attractive than that. Why? So we blend in. Paul says, man, I'll do that. I'll do anything. Why? His motive was Christ. His desire was to preach Christ. His desire was to win people to Christ. But if you have a church standard that keeps people out, then how terrible has that church become? The dangers of showing partiality, the dangers that partiality causes to the cause of Christ is so often rooted and grounded in appearance. The second thing is that it's the attitude. It says in verse 3, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes. Pay attention, the word means to look at them with awe and envy. Listen to this. During the Roman days, and I think it continues to this moment, and you'll know why in a moment here. In Roman days, if you were going to go to a very awesome public event, or you wanted to meet someone who was in the higher levels, you could take an animal or some collateral, could be a child, and you would take them as collateral to a treasury. And you could take them to the treasury, and they would hold your child or your animal till you came back, and they would put rings of gold and silver on your hands. And you would be decked with fine apparel because you're going to go to the ball. And you walk in, and you've got all this stuff. And everyone's head's supposed to turn. You see, people at the mall, they'll do this. They'll go in the in the store, and they come and walk in and say, I'm so depressed. I'm going to go shopping. And they look at this dress on the rack, and then, or for us guys, it could be a shirt, whatever. And they go in there and they put it on, and then they come out, and they go like this. And watch, if they like it, they go, I'll take this one. And they walk out of the store different. Why? They've been changed. There's an outward thing that's been placed upon them. Has it changed the inside at all? Only temporarily. By what? Appearance, which affects the attitude. The appearance changed the attitude. I look nice. So I'm going to act nice. You see? It's human nature. Now, in Rome, in Roman time, in the empire, you would put all this stuff on, and you would go to a ball or whatever it is, and here's the deal. You would go there to impress people. You would act different because you're dressed different. And people would go, who is that? It's like a Cinderella thing. Now listen, guess what? It's from that practice that we have now in this day, the term costume jewelry. It's different now because costume jewelry is junk, right? It looks like something. Well, in Rome, if you were nothing, you put on something. And you went disguised as something because something was on you, even though you were a nothing. Costume jewelry earlier meant that it built you up, even though you were a fake. James is saying, if somebody comes into the church, don't show them partiality by giving them the best seat. Give them seats just as the poor men, because we're all the same. On the inside, God has blessed the rich man or the rich woman. God has blessed them. And we're not to despise it. We're not to elevate it. We're to deal with it knowing the Lord has been good to them. Blessed be the name of God. And give God the glory.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 4. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? The word evil thoughts is to have the thought of repulsiveness or disgust. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with disgust? You are disgusted at the poor man who might smell or be dirty or be a street person who's come into church. You're disgusted. But to the rich man, you think different. It says also the word partiality. It's a different word found in verse 4 than it was found in verse 1. And this word is to withdraw from one, to fold up and to put away and move from the poor man or from the one who might not be the beautiful one. It is to form a clique. It is to form a club. We are the rich, or we are even the poor. We are the cool. You see, it's to form this thing, if it's good or bad, esteemed or rejected. It's to form a clique. It's wrong. It's repulsive. It's evil. And we must know that we have accountability, that we must give an answer to in the end, a reaction. Somebody might say, well, we're the jock group, or we're the goth group, or we're the punks, or we're the... No, it's wrong. Christians don't do that. You can be a punk and be a Christian. You can be goth and be a Christian. You can be a skater and be a Christian. You can be a surfer and be a Christian. Just don't make your surfing and your surfing paraphernalia the hip thing, that if they don't have the stuff, then they're not of us. Remember, you are a Christian first, friend. And Christians should be out there. We all should be open-armed to the world if they're poor or rich. And how much more so in the body of Christ? Showing partiality destroys and devastates. You can close your Bibles. We're done. I want to leave you with this story. Partiality hurts people. Remember when you were not chosen to be on the kickball team or the soccer team or the basketball team? Remember if you were the last one or one of the few? Did you ever hear the words, well, I guess we'll take her, or I guess we'll take him? You know, you laugh about it now, but didn't it hurt then? Christians are concerned about that happening again in the lives of people, that it not happen. Ever since I was born, up until the age, I think, of about 22 or something like that, I could not speak well at all. I stuttered severely. I don't think I speak well now. I mostly confuse you guys more than anything. But I used to stutter so bad. I remember when I wanted Bobby Schroeder or Bobby Kelly to come out and play, I would say, would you, that's how I talked. If you ever had a severe stuttering or speech problem, it hurts right here. I'm pointing to it. It hurts right below your heart and right above your stomach. There's a pressure when you're stuttering. It's very painful. It physically hurts. And if you've never had the problem, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. Physically hurts to stutter. And boy, was I popular. Oh, here comes Jack. Hey, Jack, say something. And laugh, they would laugh their heads off. I remember getting invited to some parties in junior high, and I thought they invited me because they liked me. They invited me because I was part of the joke so that they could hear me laugh. I had a teacher in the fourth grade bring me to the front of the class and have me stand on a desk and try to read chapter one of our book. And she laughed, man, she said, listen to that, oh man, listen, the class is roaring. I went home and I stuck my finger in my mouth and threw up. And I told my mom, Mom, I can't go back to school, I'm sick. After, seriously, 1 week of sticking my finger in my mouth at lunchtime, because we lived across the street from the school, I remember one day when I came home at lunchtime, and my dad was never home. He was home that day. And I did it again, because I could not go back to that class. And I remember then my dad setting me on the counter saying, what is wrong? And I remember just dying. I hadn't cried for so long, but it was all pent up inside and it all came out then. And man, I got to tell you, maybe today that's why I kind of go nuts when I see somebody in a severe underdog position. I can't handle it. I don't care if the guy's 9 feet tall and he's beating up a 4-footer. I'm going to jump on that 9-footer just because it's wrong. It's wrong of me. But I so relate to somebody who's the underdog. And man, I tell you, it killed me. And when I got into high school, you know, you see a nice girl, you want to ask her out. You know how many dates I didn't go on? Can you imagine? You know how peer pressure is so tough? Can you imagine going up to a girl? Hi, would you forget it. You know what? I'm going to tell you something personally. Looney Tunes, the cartoon, when I was little, I hated Porky Pig. No, I'm not kidding. I hated him because he reminded me of my pain. And I remember getting saved in 1977, and it was somewhere around 1982 when we were in a small group setting at Calvary Costa Mesa of only about 700 people after a Thursday night service. And I remember as I was praying, Lord, if you'll just heal my tongue, I would love to tell people about you. That was in my head. The moment I said that, somebody way in the back said, there's somebody here praying tonight, and they're saying, Lord, if you just heal their tongue, they want to give their tongue to the Lord, and they want to speak for you. The Lord's going to heal you. You just study the Word of God, and that's the Word to you. Well, I don't know what people thought in that room, but I turned to Lisa and I said, that was mine. That was God speaking to me. I didn't say it that clearly. But I remember one night, there was a girl sitting on Lido Island in the bridge, the overpass, and she was sitting right there underneath the streetlight, and I stuttered, and I felt God say, share with her now. And I went up there scared to death with my Bible in my back, stuck between my belts and my pants, and I pulled it out, and I walked up to her, and I said, excuse me, but you're probably going to think I'm nuts, but I'd really like to share Jesus Christ with you. She goes, yeah, I'd like to hear. So I shared Jesus Christ. I didn't stutter once. And I went back to my friends, and Lisa was there with some others, and I said, I didn't even stutter. I just shared the Lord. I didn't even stutter. And I remember Mark going, you're not stuttering now. And I got to tell you, all my life, I was set off to the side. Partiality, I know what it feels like. Maybe some of you who have been on the top team and the top place and the top money and the top whatever, you know what? Maybe you need to know what it feels like. If you want to spare yourself from pain, just trust the word of God and know that it hurts. I'm praying that this church looks out after the underdog. And if you see somebody, you don't even know their status in this life. You know what? If the fact is, you just don't know them. May you make it a mission to get to know them. Then you say hi to those you don't know. Because there's people in here like I used to be who are scared to death to speak because someone's going to laugh. And I thank God for it now. And friend, if that's where you're at this morning, in some way or another, I got news for you. Jesus Christ, he's called the Redeemer. He took the pain of my past and turned it into boldness. And I got to tell you, I love you, but I don't care what you say anymore. You can say whatever you want about me. You understand something? I found one 20 years ago who loves me as I am, and he's nuts about me. And I can go out to people and tell them about Jesus, and they say, well, what are you, some kind of a freak? Yes, I'm a freak. I love God. He's crazy about me, and he's crazy about you. I don't care what people say, because the one who matters said it all. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. That's all I need to hear. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we are so glad that you are such a wonderful God who doesn't judge according to the standards of men. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who fixes, repairs, redeems, polishes up, and sends back out into the world, able to be used by the Master himself. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this wonderful truth to be housed in earthen vessels like we. We pray, Father, that you might minister to one heart here this morning, that they don't have to look for the acceptance of their friends anymore, but Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would choose you in this life. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Folly of Favoritism. Glad you could be here with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of James. It's a series on being doers of the Word of God and not just hearers only. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, let me read you this letter real quick. It comes from Noelle. She says, hi, Pastor Jack. I'm Noelle, and I go to high school in Minnesota. Now, as you probably know, being a high schooler in the 21st century is rough. Mm. And she put rough in capital letters. Especially when you're a Christian. She says, I've struggled for a while connecting in my church, just not growing in the Word. I'm very grateful to have found your talks since they've challenged me to live out my faith at school. Thank you for letting the Lord work through you and for not shying away from controversial topics that need to be brought into the light.
Wow.
Noelle says, God bless.
Wow.
Isn't that great? This is coming from a high schooler.
Listen, I'd like to get that kind of letter from a full-blown adult.
Yeah.
Wow, God bless her. Noelle, listen, if you're listening right now, yes, I agree. And life is, first of all, tough in this world. And so that's why from an early age, and for you at the age that you're at, to say the things that you said in your question and in your comment already tells me you're light years ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Because you identify, you see, wait, this is tough, this is hard, I'm trying to live my life out for Christ. Noelle, I'm doing the exact same thing you are. I'm literally doing the exact same thing you are right now. I'm 67 years old, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
We'll do it together with Jesus, right? In the Word of God.
I'm coming with you.
Yeah. And you're not alone. Every one of God's kids say exactly what you're saying and feel what you're feeling. But by God's goodness through His Word, we get to power through that. He'll take you through. He won't stop. So you can be very confident, Noel, that God's going to finish what he started. And if we don't get to see each other in California or Minnesota, we'll see you in heaven.
Hey, you know, if you'd like to drop a note of encouragement to Pastor Jack, that'd be awesome. He'd really love to see what you have to say about him and how his ministry's affected your life. So please do that. Go to the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. That's the tab labeled Connect at jackhibbs.com. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.